Good afternoon. Welcome to Oremus Communication Internet Radio. This is Coraline de Tagle,
Winnie Thompson,
Emily Osmond,
from the Legion of Mary, Wilmington, Delaware, Korea, United States of America. Today, November 8th, 2019, broadcasting from the St. Mary of the Assumption Catholic Church in Hocasin, Delaware, we are going to look into the life of St. Charles Borromeo, the history and dedication of St. John Lateran Basilica, and the life of St. Leo the Great. But first, in this hour of grace, where mercy triumphs over justice, let us immerse ourselves completely in the Lord's mercy, adoring, glorifying, invoking its omnipotence for the whole world, and particularly for the poor sinners. Let us pray the Chaplet of Divine Mercy.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
You expired, Jesus, but the source of life gushed forth for souls, and the ocean of mercy opened up for the whole world. A fount of life, unfathomable divine mercy, envelop the whole world and empty yourself out upon us. O blood and water, which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus as a fount of mercy for us,
I trust in you.
O blood and water, which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus as a fount of mercy for us,
I trust in you.
O blood and water, which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus as a fount of mercy for us,
I trust in you.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven.
Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Amen.
Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. On the third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From there he will come to judge the living and the dead.
I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting. Amen.
Eternal Father, I offer you the body and blood, soul and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord, Jesus Christ, in atonement for our sins
and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Eternal Father, I offer you the body and blood, soul and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, in
atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Eternal Father, I offer you the body and blood, soul and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ,
in atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Eternal Father, I offer you the body and blood, soul and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ,
in atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Eternal Father, I offer you the body and blood, soul and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ,
in atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God, Holy Mighty One, Holy Immortal One,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God, Holy Mighty One, Holy Immortal One,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God, Holy Mighty One, Holy Immortal One,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Eternal God, in whom mercy is endless and the treasury of compassion inexhaustible, look kindly upon us and increase your mercy in us, that in difficult moments we might not despair nor become despondent, but with great confidence submit ourselves to your holy will, which is love and mercy itself.
Amen.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
The saint for the day for November 4 is St. Charles Borromeo. His life started October 2, 1538, and he expired November 3, 1584. The name of Charles Borromeo is associated with reform. He lived during the time of the Protestant Reformation and had a hand in the reform of the whole church during the final years of the Council of Trent. Although he belonged to the Milanese nobility and was related to the powerful Medici family, Charles desired to devote himself to the church. In 1559, when his uncle Cardinal de' Medici was elected Pope Pius IV, he made Charles cardinal deacon and administrator of the Archdiocese of Milan. At the time, Charles was still a layman and a young student. Because of his intellectual qualities, Charles was entrusted with several important offices connected with the Vatican, and later appointed Secretary of State with responsibility for the Papal States. The untimely death of his elder brother brought Charles to a definite decision to be ordained a priest, despite his relatives' insistence that he marry. Soon after being ordained a priest at age 25, Borromeo was consecrated Bishop of Milan. Working behind the scenes, Charles deserves the credit for keeping the Council of Trent in session when at several points it was on the verge of breaking up. Borromeo encouraged the Pope to renew the Council in 1562, after it had been suspended for 10 years. He took upon himself the task of the entire correspondence during the final phase. Because of his work at the Council, Borromeo was unable to take up residence in Milan until the Council concluded. Eventually, Borromeo was allowed to devote his time to the Archdiocese of Milan, where the religious and moral picture was far from bright. The reform needed in every phase of Catholic life among the clergy and laity was initiated at a provincial council of all the bishops under him. Specific regulations were drawn up for bishops and other clergy. If the people were to be converted to a better life, Borromeo had to be the first to give the good example and renew their apostolic spirit. Charles took the initiative in giving a good example. He allotted most of his income to charity, forbade himself all luxury, and imposed severe penances upon himself. He sacrificed wealth, high honors, esteem, and influence to become poor. During the plague and famine in 1576, Borromeo tried to feed 60,000 to 70,000 people daily. To do this, he borrowed large sums of money that required years to repay. Whereas the civil authorities fled at the height of the plague, he stayed in the city, where he ministered to the sick and dying, helping those in want. Work and heavy burdens of his high office began to take effect. Archbishop Borromeo's health, leading to his death at the age of 46. Reflection. St. Charles Borromeo made his own words of Christ. I was hungry and you gave me food. I was thirsty and you gave me drink. A stranger and you welcomed me. Naked and you clothed me. Ill and you cared for me. In prison and you visited me. Matthew 25, verses 35 to 36. Borromeo saw Christ in his neighbor and knew that charity done for the least of his flock was charity done for Christ. St. Charles Borromeo is the patron saint of catechists, catechumens, and seminarians.
On November 9th, we remember the dedication of the Lateran Basilica. Christians first met in homes to hear Jesus' teachings and to celebrate the Eucharist. When the Christians were no longer persecuted for their faith, they built beautiful churches. Sometime before the 4th century, a palace owned by a noble Roman family named Laterani had been built. It became the property of the Emperor Constantine. Constantine recognized Christianity as the religion of the empire, and he donated to the church, the palace, and other buildings on the site. The Cathedral of the Most Holy Savior and of Saints John the Baptist and the Evangelist in the Lateran, Italian Santissimo Salvatore e Santi, Giovanni Battista et Evangelista in Laterano, also known as the Papal Archbasilica of St. John in Lateran. St. John Lateran, or the Lateran Basilica, is a cathedral church of the Diocese of Rome in the city of Rome and serves as a seat of the Roman Pontiff. It is the oldest and highest ranking of the four papal major basilicas, holding the unique title of Archbasilica. It is the oldest public church in the city of Rome and the oldest basilica of the Western world. It houses the
Cathedra
of the Roman bishop and has the title of Ecumenical Mother Church of Faithful Catholic Faithful. The current archpriest is Angelo de Donatus, Vicar General of the Diocese of Rome. The President of the French Republic, currently Emmanuel Macron, is ex officio and first and only honorary canon of the Archbasilica, a title that heads of state of France have possessed since King Henry IV. The large Latin inscription on the facade reads, Clemens XII, Pont Mox, Anno the Cristo Salvatori, in on Holy Loan Baptist et Evangelii. This abbreviated inscription translates as Pope Clement XII, in the fifth year of his pontificate, dedicated this building to Christ the Savior in honor of the saints John the Baptist and John the Evangelist. The inscription indicates, with its full title, see below, that the Archbasilica was originally dedicated to Christ the Savior and centuries later dedicated to John the Baptist and St. John the Evangelist. As a cathedral of the Pope, as Bishop of Rome, it ranks superior to all other churches of the Roman Catholic Church, including St. Peter's Basilica. The Archbasilica is sited in the city of Rome. It is outside the Vatican City, which is approximately 4 kilometers, 2.5 miles, to its northwest, although the Archbasilica and its adjoining buildings have extraterritorial status from Italy as one of the properties of the Holy See, pursuant to the latter Treaty of 1929. The Archbasilica stands over the remains of the Castra Nova Equitum Singularium, the new fort of the Roman Imperial Cavalry Bodyguards. The fort was established by Septimius Severus in AD 193, following the victory of Emperor Constantine the Great over Maximinus, for whom the Equites Singularis Augusti, the emperor's mounted bodyguards, had fought at the time the Battle of Milvian Bridge. The guard was abolished and the fort demolished. Substantial remains of the fort lie directly beneath the nave. The remainder of the site was occupied during the early Roman Empire by the palace and the gens Laterani. Sextius Laterninus was the first plebeian to several emperors. One of the Lateranian consul designate Pontius Laterninus became famous for being accused by Nero of conspiracy against the emperor. The accusation resulted in the confiscation and redistribution of his properties. The Lateran Palace fell into the hands of the emperor when Constantine I married his second wife, Fausta, sister of Maxentius, known by that time as the Domus Faustae, or House of Fausta. The Lateran Palace was eventually given to the Bishop of Rome by Constantine I. The actual date of the donation is unknown, but scholars speculate that it was during the pontificate of Pope Milcetius, in time to host a synod of bishops in 313 that was convened to challenge the Donatist schism, declaring Donatism to be a heresy. The palace basilica was converted and extended, becoming the residence of Pope Saint Sylvester I, eventually becoming the Cathedral of Rome, the seat of the popes as the bishops of Rome. Pope Sylvester I presided over the official dedication of the Archbasilica and the adjacent Lateran Palace in 324, changing the name from Domus Fausta to Domus Dei, House of God, with a dedication to Christ the Savior, Christos Salvatori. When a cathedral became a symbol of episcopal authority, the papal cathedra was placed in its interior, rendering it the cathedral of the Pope as Bishop of Rome. When Gregory the Great sent the Gregorian mission to England under Augustine of Canterbury, Some original churches in Canterbury took the Roman plan as a model, dedicating a church both to Christ as well as one to St. Paul outside the walls of the city. The church named Christ Church, so common for churches around the world today, in Anglophone, Anglican context, originally came from this Roman church, central to pre-medieval Christian identity. That structure and its successors suffered fire, earthquake, and ravages of war, but the Lateran remained the church where popes were consecrated. In the 14th century, when the papacy returned to Rome from Avignon, the church and the adjoining palace were found to be in ruins. Pope Innocent X commissioned the present structure in 1646. One of Rome's most imposing churches, the Lateran's towering facade, is crowned with 15 colossal statues of Christ, John the Baptist, John the Evangelist, and 12 doctors of the church. Beneath its high altar rest the remains of the small wooden table on which tradition holds St. Peter himself celebrated Mass. The Scala Santa, or Holy Stairs, are white marble steps encased in wooden ones. They form the staircase which once led to the Praetorian of Pontius Pilate, Jerusalem, which therefore were sanctified by the footsteps of Jesus Christ during his passion. The marble stairs are visible through openings in the wooden risers. Their translation in Jerusalem to Lateran Palace in the 4th century is credited to Saint Empress Helena, the mother of the then Emperor Constantine I. In 1589, Pope Sixtus V relocated the steps to their present location in front of the ancient Palatine Chapel, named Sancta Sanctorum. Fra Benzoni completed some of the frescoes on the walls. The anniversary of the dedication of this church has been observed as a feast in Roman Catholicism only since the 12th century, a time of increasing centralization of papal authority in the history of the church. In the general Roman calendar of the Catholic Church, the 9th of November is the feast of the dedication of the Archbasilica of Lateran, Dedicatio Basilicae Lateranensis, and is referred to in older texts as the dedication of the Basilica of the Most Holy Savior. In view of its role as Mother of the Basilica of the Most Holy Savior, in view of its role as Mother Church of the World, this liturgical day is ranked worldwide as a feast. Reflection. Unlike the commemorations of other Roman churches, this anniversary is a feast. The dedication of a church is a feast for all its parishioners. In a sense, St. John Lateran is the parish church of all Catholics because it's the Pope's cathedral. This church is the spiritual home of the people who are the church.
Now we'll talk about St. Leo the Great. St. Leo the Great, also known as Pope St. Leo I, was born into a Roman aristocratic family. His response to the call of the Lord transformed him into one of the greatest popes of Christian history. In fact, he was the first pope to be given the title the Great. Details pertaining to Leo's place of birth are not known, but it is believed his ancestors came from Tuscany. Saint Leo the Great became a very well-known deacon of the church by 431, serving the church under the pontificate of Pope Celestine I. Leo was widely respected for his love for the Lord, intelligence, and persuasive nature. He was also gifted in bringing reconciliation between disputing groups of Christians. That is why he was often sent out to settle disputes, both secular and theological. Following the pontificate of Pope Celestine, the next pope was Pope Sixtus III. Pope Sixtus III passed away while Leo was visiting Gaul at the request of Emperor Valentinian III. His task was to bring peace between one of Gaul's chief military commanders and the chief magistrate. Leo was then unanimously elected as the next pope to succeed Pope Sixtus III in 440. His swift election reflected the respect he had garnered among the people from his service to the Lord and the affection the faithful had this pastoral and wise servant of the Lord. Pope Leo was deeply dedicated to his service as Pope. He saw himself as privileged to sit in the chair of St. Peter, as the servant of the servants of God. He worked diligently as Peter's successor. Over time, Leo became known as one of the best administrative popes of the ancient church. But he was so much more. During his reign, he tirelessly fought to preserve the unity of the church and its faith, and to ensure the safety of his people against invasions from armies which sought to destroy the church and the Christian influence on culture which she brought to bear. Pope Leo I focused his pontificate on four main areas. He continuously worked to oppose and root out numerous heresies which were threatening the Western Church. Among them were Pelagianism, which involved denying original sin and failing to understand the necessity of God's grace for salvation. At the foundation of the Pelagian error was the mistaken notion that we can perfect ourselves without God's grace and assistance. The other major heresy threatening the church was Manichaeism. This heresy denied the goodness of the human body, creation, and even matter itself. It failed to understand the full implications of the incarnation of Jesus Christ. In fact, it denigrated the human body. In short, it viewed everything material as evil. That denies the very teaching of the Hebrew Scriptures and the New Testament. It also rejects the very heart of the gospel message. Pope Leo I was a great defender of the orthodox teaching of the Catholic Christian Church and protected the full deposit of faith. The whole church is still indebted to him for this. During this same period, some Eastern Christians began questioning the teaching of the church concerning the relationship between Jesus' humanity and his divinity, and how to articulate this mystery of the Christian faith. In response, Leo resolved the doctrinal controversy with a letter setting down the Church's official teaching on Jesus Christ as one person with a human and a divine nature which could not be separated. This profound and theologically astute letter reconciled the disputing parties. It preserved the core teaching concerning Jesus Christ. Finally, it affirmed the fullness of what occurred in the Incarnation, as well as its implications for all men and women who are baptized into Jesus Christ. To this day, Leo's letter is heralded and praised not only for bringing peace, but for preserving the fullness of Christian truth and doctrine. It helped the whole church enter more fully into the heart of the gospel message of who Jesus is and who we can become in him as we cooperate with grace. Along with his dynamic faith and outstanding theological wisdom, Pope Leo I was also courageous. He led Rome's defense against Attila the Hun's barbarian invasion on Italy in 452. By taking on the role of peacemaker. Pope Saint Leo focused heavily on the pastoral care of his people. He inspired and helped to foster charitable work in areas of Rome affected heavily by the famine, refugees, and poverty. To him, being a Christian was not only about embracing the fullness of the gospel theologically, but living it out in a world filled with hurt, suffering, and needs. Pope Leo I was renowned for his profoundly spiritual sermons. With his words, Leo could reach the everyday needs and interests of his people. It was his reputation as an instrument of the call to holiness, well-versed in scripture and ecclesiastical awareness, that helped him become one of the greatest popes in the history of the Church. Leo died on November 10, 461. He wished to be buried as close as possible to St. Peter's tomb. His body was first laid in the entrance of St. Peter's Basilica, but was later moved inside the basilica in 688. Pope Leo I's papacy has been described as one of the most important in Church's history. Nearly 100 sermons and 150 letters of Leo I have been preserved. One of them is still, to this day, used in the office of readings on Christmas. In 1754, Pope Benedict XIV proclaimed Leo I a doctor of the Church. Pope Leo I faithfully and unequivocally held to the belief that everything he did and said as Pope represented Jesus Christ and Saint Peter. He discharged his office and vocation with dynamic faith, great pastoral care, and excellence. His feast day is celebrated on November 10th. Thank you everyone for listening. We welcome your comments. Please send them via email to legionofmary.internetradio@gmail.com. I repeat, it's legionofmary.internetradio@gmail.com. We would like to acknowledge the following who made this broadcast possible. Father Charles Dillingham, pastor of St. Mary of the Assumption Catholic Church in Hockessin, Delaware, United States of America. Mr. Tony McGinley of Oremus Communications. Mr. A.J. Luporto, who provided the music, and all the members of the Legion of Mary, Wilmington Curia. Thank you, and please listen again next Friday at 3 p.m. And may God's abundant blessing be upon all of you.